What are you studying? Why are you over in Europe right now?
Yep, I am outside of Chemish, Poland, and I have been working here on the Polish-Ukrainian border to understand more about the humanitarian response to Ukrainian refugees. Almost 4 million people have left Ukraine because of the war there, and there are 11 million people displaced inside Ukraine. So I did a trip in March where I looked at how people, mostly volunteers in Poland, we're helping Ukrainians resettle in Poland. So this trip, we're following up on that. We're looking at how that response has changed over time. And then we'll be heading into Lviv and then on to Kyiv to talk to people who have been displaced by the war inside Ukraine.
Jumping back a little bit, how long were you in the area for the first time?
I arrived about 2 weeks into the war. And I was here for 3 weeks. So I got to see things during that very intense first phase of the war. And now people have settled into the long-term response. And, most of us believe that the war in eastern Ukraine will last 4 months, if not for a much longer period of time. So people are trying to create a sustainable response.
So what were your big takeaways from the initial trip that you took, a couple months ago, I believe?
I think my initial takeaways are the same now, which is how important volunteer response is. Overwhelmingly, the help that Ukrainians got and really needed as they crossed the border into Poland came from local people. And we've been talking to people who were part of the rural women's circles, people who are part of local volunteer firefighter groups, just stray volunteers who showed up here at the border and were here for weeks or even months, helping give the Ukrainians the help they needed in terms of shelter, medicine, food, getting their kids in school, and so on. And what I've learned is that when things get really bad, the people you need to count on are your neighbors. Don't wait for the international aid agencies, don't wait for the government to respond. You're going to have to rely on your neighbors. And so it's good to start making plans to be a helper and also to be helped.
Has it changed at all what you're studying? Are people starting to come back into Ukraine more? Is that where more of the aid's focused on now?
So most of the aid response now has gone into Ukraine, particularly to the city of Lviv in western Ukraine, which has never been occupied by the Russian military. So that's now the center of aid. So we'll be following the international aid agencies in. The international agencies took a good month or 6 weeks to get going, which was too late for the initial response because millions of people came out before then. But they're now up and running and centered in Lviv. So we'll look at how they're helping people who are internally displaced inside Lviv or inside Ukraine. And then we'll be going to the capital, Kyiv, especially to interview people at the Kyiv School of Economics. And this is a group of academics who have raised $30 million for emergency needs, particularly for the territorial defense and for just general household needs for people in the city of Kyiv, which was occupied by Russian soldiers. And the Russians were eventually pushed out of Kyiv by everyday people who had signed up for the territorial defense. So it's kind of a miracle story. And we'll be talking to people at the Kyiv School of Economics who raised millions and millions of dollars to do this.
Can you kind of just, I mean, can you set the scene for me, what it's like when you're there? I mean, I can't even imagine. What is just day-to-day life for you like?
The interesting thing is that refugees pass through the border point at Medica, where we were today, and we were talking to local officials who refer to it as Marrakesh because it's like being in Morocco. There's so many tents, people handing out coffee and tea and sandwiches and clothes and phones, and then they go onwards to the rest of Europe. So people are going to Germany, to France, a lot of people going on to Britain to wait out the war. But what's really important is that a lot of people are feeling like they need to get back. They need to support their husbands who are fighting because men ages 18 to 65 are not allowed to leave. So people are going back. They're trying to support the war effort inside Ukraine, and we'll be checking in with them too, the people who've returned.
So are there any, I assume you're speaking with Ukrainian people. Have there been any conversations that stand out? Just kind of, you know, what kind of impact has this war had on these people?
I think it's had a very different impact on different people. There were people from the West who, of course, were terrified, but who didn't experience the war themselves. Now we're seeing people who spent, you know, 2 months underground in a steel plant in Mariupol, and they're extremely traumatized. We're seeing people who were subject to brutal attacks by Russian soldiers. We're seeing people whose houses have been completely destroyed and looted by Russian soldiers. So there are people who didn't experience very much, and there are people who have experienced the most horrific parts of war you can imagine. And supporting those people over the long run is going to be a very big project.
How has the European, you kind of touched on this, how has the European refugee, maybe international refugee network, how would you say it's done handling this incredible influx of displaced people?
I think that the international aid community has done very little, frankly, to help this enormous refugee movement, the biggest since the end of World War II. The bulk of the work here has been done by local Polish people, Polish volunteers, with some aid from the Polish government, particularly government at the local level and at the what would be like the state level for us. But the overwhelming bulk of the work has been done by ordinary people who took Ukrainians into their homes, who have helped feed and clothe and shelter people and transport them throughout Europe. And just the enormous outpouring of support and empathy and care from the Polish people has been an amazingly beautiful thing to watch.
Can you compare this? A lot of our viewers will obviously be familiar with the influx of Afghan evacuees that we got. Can you just, is there any comparison for these two events?
Yeah, I think, of course, the Afghans actually experienced a lot less trauma than the Ukrainians because they had to leave so suddenly and so fast. Where the Ukrainians, many of them spent months inside Ukraine experiencing the war before they could get out of territory that had been occupied by the Russians. They had to wait until the Ukrainian army could liberate the city in order to get out themselves. So we're seeing people here in coming from Ukraine who are much, much more traumatized. But the similarity is the open hearts and the open hands of neighbors and friends. And, you know, I'm here, I spent today in Rzeszów, Poland, which is a town I've been working in for 30 years. And what I saw was the same thing I saw in Bloomington. I saw everyday people who literally just opened their doors, gave their spare bedrooms, gave people clothes and food and a warm welcome. And they didn't treat them like the beneficiaries of charity. They treated them like neighbors. And I think when you think about the ways that people feel being refugees, if they're the beneficiaries of aid from the United Nations High Commission on Refugees, you know, they feel very often like they lose their dignity, like they lose their importance as human beings once they become refugees. But in these situations, people felt like friends. They felt like neighbors that would help each other and that would stay in contact with each other. And boy, that's a lot like what I saw in Bloomington.
I super props to you because that's just got to be a crazy, I mean, I just can't imagine. It's got to be insane.
For me, I have been through several Russian invasions now, and I certainly know how horrific war is. And you see things, we have seen things in Ukraine that we have never seen. I mean, the degree of the horror is just so profound there. And yet I've also at the same moment seen the absolutely best things that people have to offer and the care and the empathy and the just grace that human beings can give each other. And that for me is what keeps me going, and finding a way to make it easier for neighbors to help neighbors is really what my mission now is. And trying to figure out better ways to connect people so that we can do person-to-person aid instead of institutionalized aid is what the Center for Refugee Studies is going to be focusing on.
My final question here, I'm going to shut my my video off just for internet purposes. You really kind of focused on, it was the breakup of the Soviet Union and the displacement of the people there. Put this in a historical context for me. Just, this is something you've been studying for a while. Kind of put this in a historical
context. This is something I've been studying for about 34 years. So, of course, what we've seen is that Russia from the 16th century onwards had built a very significant empire. And many of the former republics, including Ukraine, including Georgia, Moldova, the Baltics, all of these places did not join the Russian Empire voluntarily. They were colonies of an empire. And when the USSR broke up, some of those colonies got to split off and become independent countries. That was true of Georgia, that was true of Ukraine, that was true of Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. And there has been a big push inside the Russian government for the last 15 years to recapture the empire. And there are a lot of ideologues and propaganda people inside the Russian government, very close to Vladimir Putin, who are pushing to restore what they call the Russian world. And they're arguing that these people, Georgians, Ukrainians, even Poles maybe, don't have an independent existence outside Russia, that they're really just part of Russia. That's certainly what Russia has been saying about Ukraine. And I think Ukrainians object to that mightily, that they feel themselves to be an independent nation and they want to maintain their freedom and independence rather than becoming part of an expanding empire that Russia is trying to build again. So it's really important, not just for Ukrainians, but this is important for Europe as a whole and for the entire North Atlantic Alliance that includes the United States. Either we buy into the fact that Russia has the right to expand out to the borders of its former empire, or we believe that democracy and freedom and the right of self-determination apply to countries like Ukraine. And if we don't believe that Ukraine has the right to self-determination, do we believe that Poland does? Do we believe that Germany does? So either we stop Putin in Ukraine or he may come farther west. And certainly many people in Poland are very afraid that Poland would be the next target of a Russian imperial expansion.